Welcome. All appearances of whatever kind are sky-like, like pure space. Everything that appears, no matter what it is the ground of perfect benevolence and benefit. Everything about our bodies, our minds, and all the goings-on of our bodies and minds is intended and purposed to be entirely benevolent. We were never meant to be at war with our thoughts, emotions, and experiences. All of these thoughts, emotions, and experiences, no matter what they are pure, like state. All appearances of thoughts, emotions, and experience are the luster of the basic state of awareness and nothing else. They're labels, no matter what they are, were never meant to imply confusion or to imply opposites, such as positive and negative. All labels are intended and purposed to imply only one thing, and that is the original purity of pure space. Please do not be confused about this any longer. Simply, completely relax your body and mind. Rest in and as the awareness that is the basis of everything. And in that, it will become sparklingly clear that everything, no matter what it is primordially pure, like space. All right, we can go home now. It's as simple as that. The great and beautiful and impeccable and pristine simplicity of everything, just as it is the ground of genuine being, which is total and complete rest. A rest that is so pervasive and all-inclusive that it is a reality of superb enrichment. From it, all is given, no matter what it is. And as this tranquil ground is completely pure from the beginningless beginning, all that is given as its luster is also completely pure from the beginningless beginning. No matter what we've learned about ourselves or others or the world around us, no matter what prescriptions, descriptions, and whatever that we've gathered and sought to employ, just let it all go in evenness. Let it all go in the equalness and evenness of the complete relaxed nature of everything just as it is. No matter what the appearance is, like pure space, it's impossible to hold on to. No matter what kind of significance or importance it's been deemed to have prior to this moment, it's impossible to hold on to. Whether it's been described as negative or positive, it's impossible to hold on to. It's just like grabbing at space. So why bother? Why go through the toil and trouble of grabbing at nothing and trying to make it something permanent to hold on to. It could never be done up until this moment, and it won't be able to be done after this moment or in this moment either. No matter how much you may have demeaned yourself or demeaned others, and demeaning yourself meaning telling yourself you're not doing it the right way, you're not getting to your destination in time, whatever that destination may be, that you've got to do more work to get this thinking under control, to get these emotions under control, to get the physical body under control. None of it is necessary. The exact and specific nature of everything is completely relaxed already and already perfectly pure. So what would be the necessity of purifying what's already pure? Is there any necessity to purify the blue sky? Conventional descriptions are usually very problematic. Do not accept what is said simply because it seems to come from an authority. And because many other people have done it that way. Always look to the simplicity of your own nature, and that is everything. Absolutely everything. That by which you know you are is the ground of being. You need nothing else. Return to that again and again for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic. And it's guaranteed that it will. Just like if you went out to gather white tea, a very rare tea, and you get your basket and one tea leaf, one perfect white tea leaf at a time, you finally put it into your basket. Soon the basket would be full. Such is the case with resting in awareness for short moments repeated many times until it becomes automatic. In each of those moments is the accumulation of perfect wisdom. There's no wisdom outside the completely relaxed nature of everything. The toil and trouble of conceptualization, analysis, philosophy, methods, practices, ways and means, no matter what it is, it's all completely relaxed already. None of it leads anywhere that it isn't already. There's nowhere to go and no one going there. Plans and activities that are supposed to lead to some kind of exalted destination rarely arrive. We can see this if we just look around and use our already given discernment in a simple way. What is guaranteed is the completely relaxed nature of everything. Its obviousness is its evidence. Its obviousness is so easy that it can't possibly be understood through thinking. every thought, no matter what it is, whether it's mundane, sacred, neutral, all of them are equal. All are equal in being pure space. Thoughts are not needed to arrive at decisions about anything. Within the primordial purity of the exact nature of everything lies wisdom that is super complete in itself. Mm-hmm. Wisdom that is entirely non-conceptual and always already completely beneficial. The idea that we have to think ponderously about everything in order to arrive at any conclusion is just a habit. Why not relax and see if something else might deliver an even better result than obsessive thinking in order to make a decision, and probably obsessive emotions too. You ever notice that? So first, I've got to make a decision. And then there's the thinking about the decision and all the emotions. Oh, is this going to be the right decision? Are things going to work out for me if I make this decision? Then finally the decision is made, even if it's a decision not to decide. And then after the decision point, there's more thinking and there's more emotion. Did I make the right decision? Is this what I should be doing? Is this going to work out all right for me? Simply something that's been learned that is completely unnecessary. The perfect nature of everything is at ease. The complete ease of being, just as it is. With nothing needing to be done and nothing needing to be changed. In that, all is known. It's very important for all of us as human beings to come together in this relaxed way where we can just look at each other straight in the eye without needing to drag along all our descriptions of a past and a present and a possible future. No matter what the descriptions are, what do they describe? They describe the primordial purity of everything just as it is. So if we're looking for a description, why not that one? It's much easier. That way we can get along with ourselves and we can get along with others. We can enjoy the precious opportunity of a human life. The precious opportunity of a human life whereby we are intended and purposed. In other words, we're meant to benefit ourselves and benefit others. Just through this simple knowingness, this simple beingness of ourselves, of everything as it is. Everything as it is, completely beyond extremes. Completely beyond extremes of this and that, or is and isn't. Completely beyond extremes of opposites. Complete, super complete interconnectedness. Super complete mutual enrichment. No matter what's happening. The ability to be in all situations without impediment in a completely relaxed way. That which is completely beyond words and concepts is simple and is the ease of our own being. that soul. When the body and mind are completely relaxed, that's all there is. That's the bedrock. The solid non-substance of our own being. That which was never made into anything. Please don't be mean to yourself any longer. I really ask you this from my heart. As the ease of our own being becomes more and more obvious to us, then we know what love is. Love and ease are equal, synonymous. We were meant to love ourselves and others in this way without exclusion. Without excluding anything about ourselves. Our thoughts, our emotions, our experiences, whether they're past, present, or future. Nothing needs to be manipulated or coaxed to another level or changed. As long as we are living within that venue of attempting to change everything, then we can never know the ease of our own being. Many of us have been taught that we need to improve, and that all of our lives, no matter how long we live, we'll need to improve. And we're going to have to work hard at it because our basic nature is flawed, but it's sullied in some kind of irredeemable way. These are things I learned too, but I found something much different to be the case. I found that pure space has never been flawed. It's never been sullied in any way. The original purity of everything supersedes and is beyond all ideas about anything that say that there is someone who is marked with some kind of mark, whether it's called sin, original sin, karma, reincarnation. Go to the ground of your own being, the complete ease that is the entire basic space of every thought, emotion, and experience. And you will know that all of those ideas do not apply to you, and they never have. The pure intelligence of everything as it is completely pure like space. Rest in that, and your intelligence will be penetrating, wholly positive, and inconceivably beneficial. no matter what you're doing, do it in a relaxed way. It doesn't have to, you don't have to be doing anything special to relax. I'm not talking about sitting around in a blind stupor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the complete relaxed ease of being that is the tremendous energy of everything. The more the restful bestness is the reality of all of your activities, the more energy there is. From this complete rest, this complete ease of being, comes all that is. So it is at once restful and filled with tremendous energy. With the relaxation of all fixed reference points, and I do mean all fixed reference points about everything, there is the opening of a sheer force of benefit. The most inconceivable wisdom powers that ever were are inseparable from complete ease. They'll be found nowhere other than that. Enjoy a happy smile for the rest of your life. Don't meddle with anything that I've had to say. Try to figure it out or try to understand what it's like or what it's not like or whether you agree or don't agree or whether so-and-so would agree or not agree. Just check it out in the completely relaxed essence of your own being. All toil and trouble have come to a complete stop. All seeking is ended. What's already given doesn't need to be gone after. Would anyone like to ask a question?
I think you would have to try very hard to ask the question. You know what I
mean? Uh-huh.
Almost have to make whatever. That's the question I don't know.
When all questions are answered, that's just where you are. When all yearning is subsumed within the essence of ease, that's who you are. No matter what's going on, whether you're living and happy and or sick and in pain or on your deathbed or whatever it is, it all happens in a relaxed way.
Right, can I have a question? Self-knowing awareness and pure awareness, the same, not two.
Yes.
I'm already dead. Wow. Get the same. Self-knowing awareness is your awareness, so to say. What happens when you die?
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
Nothing changes.
That's
And when you were born, nothing changed either. Everything remained unborn. There was just a lot more opinions about what was going on. Extremely negative states are your best friend. They're the lions at the gate of complete freedom. When afflictive states come up, please don't try to throttle them, choke them to death, or find other antidotes. When afflicted states come up, rest in the flawless awareness that is the entirety of the basic space of that afflicted state. There's nothing that needs to be done about it. It's its own undoing. Resting in awareness that will be perfectly clear. The afflicted state, just as it is, vanishes naturally like a puff of smoke in the sky. Just like a puff of smoke is nothing but space, so all afflicted states are nothing but space. To perpetuate them by examining them, analyzing them, trying to fix them with different approaches, is to encourage them to continue. Even if you've become very skilled at neutralizing negative states, when something is neutralized, it's just like a ghost waiting in the dark. At some point, when you least want it to, it's going to jump up again and demand some attention. Enjoy the complete ease of that about you, which is the complete exhaustion of all appearances. All appearances, whether they're described as afflicted, negative, happy face, positive, whatever it might be, they're all equal. All completely equal. Just like one part of the sky is equal to every other part of the sky. All the letters that describe everything are just like writing a sky-like alphabet in pure space and then putting the sky-like letters together in many different ways. They all mean the same thing. The alphabet that made them is tear-like space. Doesn't need to be fixed in any way. Always already resolving in and of itself with nothing needing to be done about it. You don't even have to live anywhere special to enjoy your true nature. You don't have to live in India to enjoy it. You don't have to live in any special setting, like being remote from other people, renouncing the world. You can do that if you want to, but it doesn't really lead anywhere. And it doesn't produce any cause for realizing your true nature. Absolutely none. Your lifestyle has nothing whatsoever to do with the recognition of primordial purity. Everything, no matter what it is, all lifestyles are primordially pure. You can be a great saint or a programmer at Microsoft or a ditch digger or a cake baker or whatever it is, and it's the perfect circumstance for the realization of your true nature. All your circumstances, exactly as they are the stuff of stuff. And we already know what the stuff of stuff is. Completely pure. So why look anywhere else? And looking to change something in order to have a greater likelihood of enjoying your true nature, it just adds more confusion. It adds more into the mix of someone trying to get somewhere. Enjoy the natural glow of everything just as it is. All your thoughts, whether you describe them as good or bad, your emotions, whether they hurt and are excruciating or whether they're light and fluffy, all of them are completely equal. There's no need to go to the effort of making them into one thing or another. A butterfly flying through the sky doesn't need any help. Doesn't need any signpost saying, the roses are this way and the peonies are that way. It goes about everything in a completely relaxed way. No matter what the appearance, it is completely mirage-like by nature. Whether it's the appearance of an ego, an I, a personality, or anything that's being enacted by that ego or personality or whatever you want to call it, it's all mirage-like. There's no sense whatsoever in trying to get anything out of a mirage. None of us would try to fix up a mirage or get anything there. So to try to work on a non-existent ego personality of someone, it just leads to exhaustion because it's futile to work on nothing. Completely futile. And if there's a mirage-like I or personality over here, and then another mirage-like I or personality over here, just relax. Solve your space. No matter what it is, it's like a hologram, a vivid appearance of emptiness. No matter what it is, it's never had an independent origin. There isn't a single thing that has ever been, that has existed elsewhere than complete ease. Hello, welcome. We're just relaxing here. So you didn't miss anything? I can tell you were already relaxed before you walked in here, so you won't be doing anything new. Yes.
Afflicted state, for example, when the body is ill, it's difficult to rest in awareness in contrast to when the body is healthy much easier to get in the awareness. Could you suggest anything which can help in such a particular escape to get in the awareness?
Such as being sick or in pain. Uh-huh. When sick and in pain, rest is the essence of that sickness and pain. And even though it may seem difficult to do so, if you continue to rest rather than jumping out of rest and trying to describe everything that's going on, worrying about what's going to happen or whether you're on the right course of treatment or whatever it is, just keep resting as the essence of that sickness. That's the greatest chance you have of healing yourself, right there. The medicine, the sickness, no matter what it is, its essence totally cures. When you rest in the already healed well-being of the essence of the sickness, that's the best medicine. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we're sick, we've learned a lot of things that we bring with us to the sickness. And so then we're sick, and then we have all these things we've learned about being sick. But unless we find the right doctor who really knows how to prescribe the right remedy, we can just be filling ourselves, gorging ourselves with all kinds of remedies that might lead nowhere. But if we find that physician who has exactly the right remedy, then that's all we need. And that's what rest in awareness is. Resting as awareness overcomes all obstacles. In awareness, impeccable as it is, the complete ease of being is complete control over all phenomena. So this is a perfect time to learn about that. When ill, when in pain.
From personal experience, sometimes my days occur, and then in those times it becomes very difficult to stop the negative thoughts, or in other words, to rest in awareness, consciousness. So I'm looking for something which can help to return to the awareness more frequently during those states of suffering.
Continue to rest in awareness. Rest is always best. Even though you may not have an immediate result, each time that you rest in awareness, you strengthen the true aspect of your being, the only aspect of your being. I'm not going to say anything else. To do so would be to completely mislead you. So, you know, when the headache comes up, there are only four things that you can do about it. One is to indulge it. In other words, really get into the pain and describing the whole thing and thinking about how sick you are and will this ever end, and oh, when it does end, that just means I'll have another one in the future. So you see, that's indulging it. And then the other way is just to avoid it, to renounce it, to try to shut it out and enter into some kind of a state of formlessness or other type of obliviousness. And the third way is to try to replace it with something positive. So say to yourself, oh, I'm going to get up out of bed. I'm going to go do some service, or I'm going to think happy thoughts, or whatever it might be. all of those three approaches require a doer doing something to get somewhere. Only the fourth approach conclusively situates you in the unimpeded essence of your own being. And the fourth approach is from flawless awareness. See that headache as flawless awareness until that headache is flawless awareness. In that, there's no doer. There's never been a doer, but only in the complete impeccability of awareness can that be conclusively known. And that's simply the complete ease of your own being. To find the ease in that description of a headache.
You are saying the migraine state is also a flawless awareness state.
Yes.
It is difficult to recognize that state, but I will try to.
Please do. And if you need any support for that, doing that, if you need a little help from your friends, what in the Great Freedom Teaching we call the four comforts. The four comforts are resting naturally in awareness, the teaching, the community, and the teacher. So you know who the other people are who are resting in awareness. When you have a migraine headache, you can seek support from one of your friends in the community who's resting in awareness if you're having difficulty doing that.
Just a sideline question on that.
Mm-hmm.
You said the second method is to renounce or avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Is it equivalent to neutralize?
Absolutely. Indulgence, renunciation, or replacing the negative with the positive, those are all antidotes.
Yes.
Those are all ways of neutralizing something. All of them neutralize. All of them are antidotes. All of them are attempts to change something that doesn't need to be changed. All of them are the seeking after other descriptions to try to make things better. As difficult as it may seem to you, you can really have great fruit from this. You can benefit yourself greatly. I'm not telling you to steal yourself, not take any medicine, or head in any specific way. I'm just saying that by resting in flawless awareness, you know exactly what to do and how to act in that situation. Disclosed to you will be exactly the right remedy that you need, whatever that is. But whether it's a remedy like taking a medicine or not, to you it will all be equal. You see what I'm saying? You're not seeking the remedy as an antidote. You're resting in awareness no matter what's going on. In the great equality of everything just as it is.
Are you saying that you get an intuitive prompting for the medial nature?
The wisdom at the basis of all appearances discloses everything in a way that is immaculate. So it's the most precise way to know yourself and the world is in awareness, resting in awareness, resting in the ease of being, the genuine tranquility that is the basis of everything. Is inseparable from wisdom, is inseparable from the sheer force of benefit. it's very clear when we look at things. We, many of us have assumed that our biological mechanism is what generates awareness. But after we rest in awareness for a while, we realize that it's space itself that is aware. That's what's aware. And if we examine space itself, even in the most fundamental way, a way that's very easy to understand, we can see that space has within it the natural order of everything. Everything, no matter what it is completely at ease. Everything, no matter what it appears in, of, as, and through complete ease. So when you allow that natural settling of the ease of your own being, then the wisdom that is inseparable from it gushes forth.
I like to more to share something. I can see that that awareness is like the underlying basis from everything, and like the mind, in a way, what I call mind, has still some questions, still some kind of things looking paradox to him. Okay, how there can be no doer, and at the same time, it seems there is still something who has to make a commitment, or who has to decide, rest is best, so I do that. And it's so there is this conflict from, I mean, this may be mind saying but, and at the same time, if I open up a little bit to awareness, then I already see awareness has no question at all.
There you go, you answered your own question.
Yeah, but still I can see that the mind, he has a lot of questions, or he, it's just maybe a habit.
Uh-huh. Well, here's an easy way to look at it. Within the all-encompassing peer view of awareness, all points of view are the luster of that awareness and nothing else. So whether you're thinking about the mind or someone who has the mind or the doer or the done, each one is a point of view within awareness. It's the luster of awareness and nothing else. So why not just rest in that awareness and understand everything from there rather than continuing to engage in intellectual speculation about the nature of things. Who you are is entirely beyond intellectual speculation. So why go there to try to figure out who you are?
It's just a habit that the mind wants to be satisfied and wants to have the final answer. And even if I have one, I know half an hour later, he thinks, no, this can't be the right answer. And he again changes the point of view.
That's okay. You know, if you think you have a mind, just relax. If you think there is someone who has a mind, just relax until there's no mind. You can't get in there and erase the mind that you think is there. Just rest in awareness. The mind is just another point of view. You see, there's never been an intermediary between awareness and something else. There isn't an individual entity of some kind that is special in pure space. So there is no entity that is a warehouse, a hard drive, or any kind of storage facility of points of view. Within the all-encompassing pure view of awareness, all circumstantial points of view simply are as they are, no matter what they are. When you just rest in that awareness, you automatically allow all that intellectual speculating to come to an end. even if you've been absolutely convinced that you're somebody and you have a mind and this, that, and the other thing, all these things are not things you were born with. You didn't jump out saying, here I am, better get my mind going, gotta crank it up, gotta start figuring out who I am, gotta get an identity. You see, so the basis of everything is, you were born as that basis of everything, and you continue to be that basis of everything. No matter how many circumstantial points of view appear within awareness, they appear only as the glow of that awareness, and they're never separate from it. No point of view within awareness has any kind of special status. The unbornness of everything guarantees its primordially pure nature. That is only known through complete ease. So if you're prone to intellectually speculating, that's fine. We each have a different disposition, and one might be an intellectual speculator, another one might be all emotional. Whatever it is, just rest. It's all equal. Questions are invited to resolve doubts.
After the 12 inquiries, I had this resting of something that I call in myself this great controller that's always been there, this like, it stops me doing things I would more freely do, and it's, the other side is it stops me doing things that I didn't want to do. And the two things that arose was huge social freedom to just be and feel belonging everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that arose was all of my so-called strategies for avoiding addictive behavior fell away. So I started drinking again, like, which I haven't done for years, I've got to eat loads of sugar, just, and it was like, I wanted to get selective again.
Mm.
I didn't like that side of the freedom, which was all this depression. And that still comes up for me. So I'm just trying to rest with that. But that's quite a strong point of view I have, that process is still harming this body, even as a point of view. That's what I
In resting and getting familiar with what is at the basis, there can be all kinds of points of view that come up, including things that are just whatever they are. But if these things come up and they feel like they're harmful to you, then you need to request support from someone else who's resting in awareness. Resting in awareness is entirely beneficial. It isn't a license to go pell-mell doing whatever you want to do. So you can know that you're resting in awareness by its display of benefit. Now, I'm not suggesting any particular course of action. There are all kinds of stories from all kinds of different traditions about skillful means and the application of skillful means by a wisdom master. And that application of skillful means may look harmful to everyone else, but it's exactly appropriate in a given situation. With that said, when you begin to rest in awareness, and this is stated very specifically in the teaching, for everyone there will be a time will appear when negative points of view are totally out of control. And that's just organic. It's the nature of things. Because as long as there's any point of view that we're believing is somehow not awareness, then we're going to have a visit with that point of view. That point of view, whatever it is, it's going to appear. It's just going to appear. And so whether it's you're drinking or you're eating or whatever it is, to really recognize the original purity of that doesn't require that you act it out. It's a simple human matter. You just say to that person, hey, this is what's going on with me. What was that like for you? Yeah, it does. Now, in the Great Freedom Teaching, it's never been easier because we have 24/7 support worldwide. Email, telephone, whatever you need, but there's always someone there who can support you if that is needed.
In the sake of the integration point of view, we had some discussions in Goa with the community. And before I came to India, I was living in a community, in a spiritual community of the evolution of consciousness, theology, teaching, based on Wicca and Andrew Corning. And so the thing is that if I just rest, this philosophy, this myself, to another point of view. And then just an empty appearance of a hierarchy of evolution of consciousness, and then I can think of the story in that point. And that you actually answered this question during this teaching today. But still, in this hierarchy of evolution of consciousness, you would be considered a teacher in a very hierarchy because you're cosmocentric, you're above religion and tradition, we include everything. So I would like, if possible, to hear your commentary on the evolution of consciousness, because when I talk to my friends in emails and try to tell them what's going on here without trusting, usually the answer would be, yes, that's right. It's beautiful, but it's still just the basics. There's the movement. What's going on with the movement? And just trying to tell them by resting, everything just worked out, the movement worked out. But there is still this dialogue that I'm trying to do with my friends in the community and the people that are in this Andrew Cohen and Kel Wiggle evolution of consciousness that would really be happy to hear with you.
Well, do you have a question?
Yeah. How to integrate this philosophy interesting without you saying, without just saying it's just a point of view, because if I just say that to people or to myself, it could sound like there's no dialogue. And I would like to have a dialogue with these people and
I'll give you a little advice. There are many people to have a dialogue with, and many people I'm sure that you'd love to have a dialogue with, and if you'd like to tell them all about what it is you've found in resting and awareness. So if that course of action is followed through, that's called evangelism, where you just go out and try to get everyone to listen to your vantage. But there's a much easier way, and that is that you just continue to rest in awareness, and whoever shows up and asks you about that, then you share with them, and there's your dialogue. And there are plenty of those people, as we see here. You know, I didn't get out and try to get everybody here today to have a dialogue. And so just continue to rest, and people show up who want to hear about what's been wonderful for you. They're within the impeccable purity of basic space. There's a natural responsiveness of dynamic benefit. It's like a treasure trove. Everything is a wish-fulfilling gem. So whatever anyone wants, that's what they'll get. And maybe certain people want what you just described that you were involved in. And so that's what they'll get. You know, that's just the way it is. That's part of the dynamic responsiveness of awareness. It doesn't make one thing right or the other thing wrong. But when it gets right down to it, to try to integrate the movement with the non-movement is a lot of work. Because you're trying to integrate something that was never unintegrated. In resting awareness, all is beyond integration, beyond evolution, completely beyond all extremes. We might talk about it in terms of evolution, and I sometimes use that word in my talks, but what I relate it to is that we as a human species have come to believe certain things about our mind. And now we're at a critical juncture. If we want to continue on as a species, then we have to go beyond everything that we've learned. We have to let all the conventional reference points go and truly allow these wisdom powers at the basis to be the wisdom ruler, to be the governance of everything as it is. And you see, that cannot be cooked up. This integration cannot be cooked up by dialoguing points of view. If there are points of view dialoguing, that's just more points of view. It's trying to put points of view together into a better skill set that's going to work. But if we just rest in awareness, we see that all the attempts to do that have been completely fruitless. We as a species have destroyed our habitat practically and destroyed our own species. So, you know, we're right on the brink of that right now. So why not find out that about us which can go beyond all that? We tried all our solutions within points of view of cause and effect and time and space and all these other notions that have been contrived. So why not now get to know that about us which is beyond all that? Everyone already is beyond all that, so why not get to know that? Solve some of the problems from beyond causality rather than meddling around with causality. There are many ways to talk about things and write about things. And I know that it's very clear to you at this point that there is a great difference between something that is just purely intellectually incisive and point of view driven and wisdom speech. So the courageous eloquence of wisdom speech, it cuts through all points of view. It cuts through all points of view all at once. It doesn't have to integrate one thing after another, go to a higher level or lower level or in or out or up and down, above and beyond. It isn't involved in any of that. So you see, wisdom speech, wisdom writing, that kind of thing, and this has been true throughout all of time. It cuts through everything. We can read lots of things, we can write lots of things, but we can read very few things that strip us naked. And we can hear very few words like that either.
I just want to share one more little thing which helped me. Mm-hmm. It's like, normally I will say about myself that I'm a very mind and intellectual person, whatever. And so when I was in Goa, there was this, like, I heard about this possibility to come here. And then there was the mind and I don't know, and it is closed, do I really like it? And then actually here it's nice, and all this point of view. But what finally really helped me and put it to an end, when all these doubts were coming, I heard one time a tape from you, and it was a question coming up about how we can make decision at all, and if we are not a doer and all these things. And you said something like, if you rest, you just go wherever the wind blows. And it was clear in the situation when I was just looking at myself, okay, where the wind blows, by all these points of view, I'm not sure, and it's maybe too cold, maybe this, but here, the wind blows to Rishikesh. Sorry. And I try to go more where the wind blows.
Thank you for coming today.